The world is a system. And the things that men give, either solutions to themselves or to the problems that they feel or that bedevils us every day. So this morning, as we call it 11-11, I just want to run down, without mentioning histories or times, maybe 11 things that I believe that I've encountered along the way. So it's actually a rant, if you want to call it that. It's actually us talking. That's why I chose this position and this setting this morning. As far as everyone is concerned in London City, everyone is trying to keep the COVID rules as much as they can. You know, and for those who think, well, church shouldn't be meeting, guess what? Church is not meeting at all, because if we were meeting as a church, it won't be in a place like this, you know. Cafes have to open, some hotels have to open and tweak the law a little bit. So, and the most eat, the church. Never been given a chance for warrants. So guys, you can sit down around though, otherwise you'll stand for a while. I want to make this as short as possible, but as long as it don't come within the camera range. Awesome. Yeah. No, sir. Thank you. 11 rants. What are the 11 things that I think I've learned, or the main pillars of this house? What do I take into the 40th year? And I've seen 40 in scriptures. I've also shared that with you over and over again, according to scriptures. And when Moses was 40 years old, it came into his heart. But I don't want to talk about the age. I will pick when you're speaking, because you're so close to me and you distract me. So what are the things that God is saying to us? The things that he reminds us of. They are reminders. They help us not to remove what the scripture calls the ancient landmarks. They are stop points in life. I was reading about a man who predicted, who has always been right with his prediction of who will be the next American president, as in, he's predicted about maybe as long as he's been alive, many, and they are always accurate. I think what humans do, and I think that's why the Bible is written, I don't want you to forget this, because scripture says whatsoever is written before time is written for our sake, so that we might, through the comfort of scripture, find hope. In other words, they are landmarks that if a person lives by this, they will get the same outcome, or most times amplified outcome. If it is evil, it will be the same. If it is right, it will be the same. So that makes me believe in systems, that these systems, God's word system now, it works, and you have to trust that system. It is a system of justice. In other words, if you sow, you'll reap. If you give, you'll be given to. If you love, you'll be loved. These are systems, and these systems do work. And sometimes we disbelieve this system, and because of the disbelief of this system, especially when we take our eyes off the scripture, because of the disbelief of this system, we will try to do our own thing in another way. I was thinking of a young man this morning. I thought, you know why this guy won't make it? He just can't believe that there is a way, legal or right, to just make money. I think his system cannot just accept that into that software. And it's a problem. It destroys everything. But that's not my point this morning. First scripture this morning, first realization. And I need you to keep this realization according to what God told me to tell you this morning. That's why I don't want to make it a formal preaching, so that you can remember. Greater is he that is in you. 1 John chapter 4 tells us, it said, these are right unto you because you've overcome the world. And he said, what is the faith? And things like that. 1 John chapter 4, I think, yeah? Talk to me.
You are of God, little children.
He had to say you're of God. I think that's the first realization. So you're not of parents. The Bible talks about children not born according to the will of man. So it's not of parent, it's not of church, it's not of pastor. You are of God. That's the supreme being, the unseen one. He said, you're of God, little children, and?
And have overcome them.
So he uses the word them, meaning forces that are seen or unseen. It's as simple as that. Things that you may not project for. So it means that anything that comes your way, you've overcome. He said, you've overcome them. Then it tells us why. Because you must know this why. Because
he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
When you have time, think about that scripture. It will make a whole new meaning to you. Because if you've been in church for a while, you just read that scripture before I even read it. You just said, yeah, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. I want you to think of the world as a system, a way of doing things. But it says he who is in you is greater than that. It means that you can create a new system if you yield and you listen to your inner being. If you listen and yield to your inner being, that's number one realization that I've got. If you tell me, so tell me, 40 years now, 15 years or many years of doing this, I've learned to listen to my inner person. And that's the Holy Spirit, because see, there's someone living in you. He actually stays there, and I don't think he lives in you because he's homeless. I think he lives in you because his continuous desire is to create. God is a creator. So he's actually trying to create something. That's why he lives there. It's not there so that you can speak in tongues and be spiritual. It's there so that you can create something that is greater. I love the fact that he chose the word greater. So you wonder, if we're going to heaven, seriously, if we're going to heaven and we're going to come to reign with God in heaven and all that, why don't he just wait for us there? Why come live here with us? Because he who lives in you is greater than he who lives in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the world has a system, and sometimes their system is also their own justice system. It's everything, whatever else you want to call their justice system or their financial system or their whatever system. But I discovered many years ago that God lives in me for a purpose. So first thing this morning, have you realized why he lives in you? Was it there for? Given is according to purpose. Let me tell you what that means, guys. It says, therefore, let every man give as he has proposed. You've got to take that word out. That's my number two realization, guys. As he has proposed in his eternity. So there can't be given under duress, otherwise you didn't give. Because it's not based on purpose. There can't be stealing to give, otherwise you didn't give. Because that cannot be based on purpose. Let everyone give according to what he has proposed. So, why do I give big? Because I propose something. There is a determination. There is a running in my life. So, number one pillar, of course, is the word, he that is in me. By the time you go, this is me going back again. By the time you go to Genesis, when you reach verse 11, so when we talk about 11:11, when you reach verse 11 in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 11, exactly in verse 11, he mentioned the seed. He said, let the earth bring forth seed. Every other thing stops, because at the number 11, everything begins to reproduce according to its kind. And so I want to go to number 2, which is the pillar, but I just remember that, 1:11.
Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself.
Every worm that is created creates seed and fruit according to its kind. And I realized that a day must come in my journey that I look after a well, I've got to look at someone and say, this is not my kind. It may look like a fruit, but it's not a fruit. Because every seed God creates and recreates, God plants his own future by seed. So therefore, seed must be according to purpose. So those who have not found purpose cannot give. Because let every man give according to what they proposed in their heart. So the new church is not going to have, well, just pay your tithe and offering or that. They will find purpose. Why does nation family give like this? Purpose. Why do you give to nations? Purpose. It's not so that you can be known. I discovered that that was my powerhouse as well. I discovered that more than 20 years ago. Now, purpose and seed work hand in hand. And so if I had to be a kitchen porter in order to be able, so when we say you gave 270 pounds so that people in the area can eat and all that, that's not so that I can get an OBE or MBE, or so that the government can recognize me. It's so that I can begin to look for kinds. I was establishing purpose at that period of my life. And it doesn't look like it will have a reward. It doesn't look like that. And so many times the way Pentecostalism taught us is that you give for a reward. No, your seed, your life is already in you. What you will become is already in you. What the seed does is that it lets you search for kinds. It's the testing ground. I discovered that was a powerhouse. So number one, greater is he that is in you. What is in you is the word. So I found out that our base is word. Now, word is deeper than verses. It's deeper than Bible verse. So imagine some years ago, I just decided that I'm not going to be a critic. I'm not going to be, you know, those who just come up to talk about, oh, the Bible didn't say that. No, I want my life to show it. I don't want to be Mr. Theory. I want to put the word to the test of it. Then I discovered something, and this is important for you. As long as you're looking for when the word will walk, then you are not living in the word. Because the word is eternity. It's not based on time. The kingdom of heaven is as if a man should sow seed and go back home and sleep. And day and night, the seed grows and it does not know how. That's what scripture says. So what really happens in our life, these are my discoveries, if I'm to share anything with someone in 11 years or 40 years or whatever, it is the fact that as long as you're looking at the seed growing, you're not growing. Because your eyes cannot be on two growth at the same time. You cannot look at Jesus and look at the seed you planted. Therefore, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. And so what happens to people, the reason my friends gave up is that they are not seeing themselves grow. So, and this is very deep on the inside of man, because again, I repeat, if there is another thing I've learned in these years is to just, when people are speaking, is to listen intently to them, because I know that they've only said 1% of what they think they are saying. So they're not saying. And so I can look at someone even when I'm speaking and think, and no, she's not listening. She's cut off already. And so, but please listen to this. As long as your eyes is on your growth, which is usually measured by the growth of someone else, then your seed is non-functional. It is a deep matter of the heart. In other words, you can come and say, no, that's not the way I feel. Praise God, hallelujah, I'm good. But time will let us know. Yeah. Because the way we grew is that we are not conscious that we're even growing. I think sometimes I look back and say, oh, okay, so we've come this far. We didn't know. The kingdom of God is as if a person should plant. So we were not conscious of age and time. There was a time I forgot how old I was. Why? Because it's irrelevant at the time. So there is no remembrance of birthdays. And stuff like that. Because it's not because I was trying to be disciplined or be a killjoy. Oh, I don't do those birthday stuff. No, it's just that there was no time. Every second counts or counted. And for me, when we say every second counted or counts, it is the fact that every moment is busy. Why don't you read Twitter? Because I'm busy reading books. Why don't you read all the social media comments? Because I'm busy reading the word. You can't read both at the same time. Before you can measure your life with the life of someone else, you must have read their lives. You must have thought about their lives. And I'm not going to think about someone's life if their life is not pure, inspiring. These are the things I learned along the way, that what makes people give up the most is comparison. It is the measurement. So the less educated you get, and I'm not talking about school education, I'm talking about word education, really looking at the word, not with a Christian mind anymore, but with a change agent mind. Those are two different things. So when God said to me, come with me and I'll show you deeper waters, for me, that was the change point in my life. I wanted to see what others cannot see in the world. I wanted to challenge status quo that others are afraid to challenge. I wanted to know, why do we do night videos? It's just simple things like that. And I challenged for a long time in my life, not without doing. I was given. I challenged giving because I want to understand it. I needed to check lives, other people's lives, and see. And the people that I've perceived, look, one day, and I've got to say this to you. My uncle that I was living with, I saw them as givers, right? And they were givers, to be fair. That I was first living with, lived with two. They were givers. They are good people. And they talk about holiness a lot. So for me, but I wasn't seeing the blessings. It's late now. I wasn't seeing anything. And it's been many years. You can say, well, the blessing is in heaven. No, it's been many years of struggling. So one day I got to the house and I started praying for them. I was really pained. You know when you're pained, like, how can this be? Like, I don't understand. They are givers in their own measurement. You know, I knelt down. I will never forget Bethel Close, my brother's house. I was living with Reverend D at the time. And as I was just less than 2 minutes into the prayer, God saw my pain, that I was paying for them. And I know that I heard God. He just said, stop praying. Just watch them. Stop. Stop challenging this, what you feel is not right. He said, chill, wait, look. So I just stopped praying, because there are some times that you will feel God speaks and it's not God. This one I know. It's just like the day, I will never forget this day. I was about to, was living, sleeping in my brother's living room, because there was no space. They would give me their room if they have to. So it's not about them. I was just late. My dad was going to come from Nigeria, and we're gonna go pick him at the airport. So I was pumping the inflation bed, those ones you pump and sleep on, inflation bed, you know. I was pumping it to sleep, and I heard God say to me, I heard him clearly when he told me to give X that. I heard, those are those points in my life that sometimes I think, what if I missed it? Because, you know, these are, you give monthly or weekly or yearly, whatever, but there are certain stop points that you can never forget. I will never forget, I heard that voice and I wanted to argue, but I knew it was God. You know, when you hear something and you think, well, that cannot be God. So I heard it just like that. That's why I came to this bed one. I heard that they'd stop, watch. I started watching. And guess what I found? I found what I would call a Christian spirit. It's a devilish stuff. They can give their time to God, including their money, but guess what? They are very judgmental. When it comes to people's behavior, they can pieces the person down, tell you this is wrong. I started to see that. In fact, they told me about my other uncle's wife. They are both pastors, who are brothers and sisters. They said, you know, there are things I don't want you to be telling them upstairs because they have monitoring demon. But they are Christians, as in they don't, I don't think they even wear earring. They are very on it. So God said, can you imagine this harvesting? Why would I give them harvest? Because harvest is for people, and people you've condemned already. You know why fiery Christians don't do any exploit? There is no reason for hundredfold return. Because all this thing is for people. So a person who has cut people off, even if you then give them £5 after saying, well, terrible, oh, wow, terrible, take this £5. No, you still did not touch them. The most touching thing in this world is forgiveness, love. It is based on that that we give. Outside that, so those of you who still gossip, you can give all you like. It's not going to work. What Bible knowledge makes you do is to condemn people. That's theory. What it makes you do is to preach on how holy people should be. Let me go to what Jesus said. All that the Father has given me, I can't recover from that scripture. So God had to teach me that scripture, maybe just 1 year into ministry, because I was so, you know, when you've done wrong, right? I guarantee you, or when you've done wrong in your life, yeah, if you've done wrong, I guarantee you that it takes you about 6 to 8 months of not doing wrong before you start condemning everybody that does the same thing you used to do. It's that thing is so easy. You will find yourself judging them almost 1 minute now. But you forget that what you're doing is burning down the school because you've graduated from it. This is what makes Jesus Jesus, that he who knew no sin at all became sin. Because there's no problem if you've sinned, because sometimes you'll come up with it. But the worst thing about human beings is that they can do the same thing and condemn it just because they didn't do it for 2 months. They won't condemn it alone. They'll condemn the person. So God says the reason for no, in that case, because it taught me 12 things about seed and harvest. One of it being, the chief being time, meaning that people will not love time stop. They just keep comparing, looking. Another thing that God thought, okay, no, let's finish this. Otherwise, I've called the around, so it may not be in sequence. Talk to me.
And Jesus said to them,
what did he say?
I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe.
And so I learned this. I mean, this is just footnote. I learned this in church. I grew up in a church where I see a lot of miracles. And we thought miracles would make people believe. They didn't believe. It didn't mean much to them. I mean, they rejoiced for the first few days. After that, they needed another miracle. Then they doubted. It's just like the children of Israel. They saw manna fall. But did they doubt for water? They doubted. But that's not my point today. Go on.
All that the Father gives me will come to me.
Did you see my first sentiment in ministry? I think I mentioned this on Thursday, maybe. Why I don't fear people and stuff. He said, everyone the Father has given to me, they will come. So it is not about public image. It's not about what people think about me. Everyone, all that the Father gives me will come. Now, if he gives you a billion for this assignment, guess what will happen? It will come. If he gives you Ghana, Nigeria, to lead, it will come. Those of you who are family heads now, Crying Connect, to Toss Hill, to that, you did not go for those things. They came. And most times you realize that when people leave, it is for people to come. Those that the Father, leave that scripture on the screen, please. Though all that the Father, and I again love the word all, I discovered this. These are footnotes for me in ministry and in timeline. All that the Father gives me. So you see, he uses the word gives because all good and perfect gifts come down from the Father. All of it. So when I found purpose, he assigned some people with me. He assigned money with me as well. Everything that will make me fulfill purpose. But I think the first struggle in my life is to take out the things that are not supposed to be there, the things that I learned. And that's why I mentioned time, comparison, all these things. So I think God was teaching me this scripture. All the while, whilst my in-court pastor friends were running after many things. Scripture says, all that the Father has given me will come to me. That is not a laid-back position of, I won't do anything, but God will come through. No, it's a position of rest so that when the right thing comes, you will know the Father has given me this one. Then you will have what it takes to build it. So that's why I said knowledge, education, you're growing in strength so that you can use what the Father gives you. When Jesus noticed Peter by the poolside, he knows, by the riverside, pardon me, he knows this one the Father has given me. And guess what? There are other people who came to Jesus and said, we will follow you wherever you go. And he said, nah, you can't do it. The Father has not given it. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And?
The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out.
Do you see the formation of the new church? The one who now comes to me, he said, I will never cast them out. So it doesn't matter if he's the vilest offender in this world. If he comes to me, it doesn't matter if he's the greatest professor, the greatest antichrist even. If he comes to me, Jesus said, I will by no means cast out. Now, what's the balance between that and someone who says, well, I've come to you now, but I'm just going to keep doing whatever wrong I'm doing. Now, they didn't come. That's not coming. That's hanging around. All that the Father gives to me, I think this should be your greatest strength. If we're talking of 11-11, you will not miss anything. Nothing. There's nothing God has proposed for you in this lifetime that you will miss. Everything that the Father gives to you will come to you. Sometimes you don't even know the way to go. Sometimes you want to build the greatest company in the world, but you don't know the way to go, but it will come to you. Guess what? You have to stay in the right location. That's another thing I learned. And sometimes the right location may look too boring. You know, humans are restless. When we're children, we are restless. I still spoke about a friend. Can't sit down for 30 minutes in a place. I just want to go around. You know, that's what Joey would do. Like, Joey would sit down. He's lost focus now. He has to go around. Just wonder. But that's for children, right? A successful person will be a person you'll find in your life who can come and sit in a place for a long time. That's the discipline of body and soul. It's not, I'm bored. Normally, people that are bored wander around. As in, there's nowhere they are going to. They are not going anywhere. So people ask me, how can you be consistent? Imagine in the same city, 15 years, 3-4 times preaching, let's say the same thing, every day. 3-4 times a week, just speaking. And imagine sitting there in that same location and just, all you just see is the same location and everything just changing. People come and go, better people come. Finances change. Everything is just changing around and you're in the same place, the same word, just preaching the same thing. So when people have had ups and downs, big moment, whatever they call that thing, down moment, big moment. You know, the one churches have given you names for now. Traumatic moment, da da da. Guess my own expression and city is just like this. See, I'm going through traumatic, I'm like this. It doesn't mean we are not exposed to the same problem. It just means that for me, it's just the word. I'm just sitting in the same place. In the days when it doesn't look like there's a future, I'm just like, In the days when it looks exciting, like, whoa, things are happening, there's future. In the days when it looks like there's no money at all. In the days when it looks like there's so much money everywhere. It's just the same thing. And all you're seeing is everything just changing. I think I discovered that and I love it, looking back now. So that brings me to saying that everything comes at some point. I think what happens to people, the reason why they miss what comes is they are not prepared for it. Whilst they should be growing and learning and building strength, they are busy trying to get busy. Yeah, they're trying. They want to get busy. They say things like, hey, I don't want to feel like I'm not doing much. Let me tell you something. If you are growing, you will never feel like you're not doing much. The reason why you have that vacuum to feel like that is because you're not growing. You're not. You're not developing. There are vacuums of development that you should have expanded to, but you're not doing it. So you'll always have free time. See, I'm just so free. Like, the fact that you're not running around entering from bus to train does not mean you're free. If that's what it means for you, then you're not growing. These are my discoveries. Also, I discovered people. I think the greatest pain in our lives will be brought to us by people. Greatest pain. Greatest pain. If life was left to you, you might not even have any pain, even though many of us are capable of self-destruction, though, I must say. But there will be limited pain if certain people were not in your life. I want you to look back and think of certain people. Greatest pain. So if I'm unhappy about something this morning, I'm thinking, what brought it? Just a person, a loose cannon, who you don't know what they will do next morning. It's just pain from someone. People will be the greatest pain. They will be the greatest place of pain. And Jesus teaches us that. But also, the greatest pleasure will also be from people. So the problem is, over the last 15 years, I'm thinking, how do you balance that then? If the greatest pain is going to be from people, look at the nation family. Those who have abused you more or started anything against you, they are people you gave clothes and food to, right? But those who have blessed you more too, they are people sometimes that you've given nothing to. I think God leaves the mystery of people like that because one is to test the other. Yeah. Judas was to test the stability of Peter. Every doubt that Thomas had was to test the faith of John. He's still the same people. So even among 12 people, you have the greatest doubter. You have one of the most violent persons, the sons of thunder, Balgenes. Then you have the betrayal, just among 12. So sometimes I wonder why and how people want me to take responsibility for 1,000 people. I'm saying even Jesus, you know. Jesus, he said, oh, but that person comes back nation. Yeah, but that's what we're created for. I don't think there's any church as difficult to pastor as Spark Nation and as easy to lead as Spark Nation. Easy to lead, very difficult to pastor as well. That's what I've come to accept. Very difficult, but also easy to lead. It's easy to lead because there's flexibility. It's difficult to pastor because there is determination. You understand that? No, you don't. Don't say, you don't understand it. I'll leave that till I'm 44. I'll explain that at 44. But look at this. Jesus had 12 and all manner of characters are there. So I began to learn from him how he balances this. Your greatest pain will be people. Your greatest pleasure will be people. The pressure of pain is to let you discard the pleasure of others. Yeah, do you understand that? That you begin to discard the pleasure others can bring because of the pain others brought. You begin to think, Oh, I don't trust people. No, that's because one person or two have done certain things. Now, what you then do with that is you lose the harvest. Because don't forget my uncle's situation where God says, I cannot give them harvest because it's not for people. They've already cut people off. So it therefore encourages us or teaches us how to pastor people. Truth. You see, truth takes time to grow. Truth grows in time, but God looks for agents of truth. Truth is not, well, I'm blunt, I'll just say, no, truth is truth. Truth can sometimes be hard, but most times subtle. Truth is letting others. I learned this all through the years, and I realized that, look, 10,000 people can be on the internet abusing and saying all this about PT, about Spark Nation, about da-da-da, but I discovered something. Trust the system. Truth always prevails. The test of truth is to make you a liar. When truth is under question, it is to turn you to something else. Lying is what they call PR. PR is public image. Because you understand, never forget this, people don't like truth. It's going to be one of your easiest things to learn in life, though it's still going to be complicated. So do not be afraid of likes or not having likes, because people do not like truth. However, you're called to be agent of truth, because the only thing that sets free is truth. So you have to come to a point in life where you determine what side you're going to be on. Because there's always a side that will win. Truth. I learned decision making. I also learned loneliness. I think I told you this on Thursday. Loneliness is God's tool for greatness. God weaponizes loneliness. This loneliness is not based on relationship. Like, I was in a relationship and the guy or girl left me. You know, the one you cried about and all those stuff. That's not loneliness. It's confusion. Because you were not a person before you got into the relationship. That relationship that broke your heart is supposed to make you lonely so that you can find you. Usually, before we even find ourselves in life, we get into relationships. So many people for the rest of their life, they live in confusion. The marriage they think they have is confusion. It's not marriage. God's tool for Moses' greatness was his loneliness. What gets us into loneliness, don't forget this, what must get you into loneliness and a friendless life, so to speak, is purpose, assignment. The way you find a person that is rightly lonely is that you give them vision. You check their vision, then you will know, why are you in court isolated? But you know what happens to people? They call life, jumping from tree to tree, they call it fun. I was actually mocking that on Thursday, right? I said, let your head down. That's fun. No, real fun is vision. Real fun is assignment. You don't rest from assignment, because it is assignment. It is not work in the first place. You sow into assignment so that you can rest in it. The example of that is simple. So I was working day and night as a kitchen porter, sewing into assignment. And what that does is, even among pastors, you may not be the greatest friend, because you actually don't have time. Loneliness is God's tool. We live in a busy world. You know, one of the things the world is programmed to do is to make you never be quiet. When you get on bus, it's noisy. Sit in a restaurant. Music has to play. Sometimes you wonder, what is music? What has it got to do with food? Music is there. Everywhere is noisy, so that you never get to the inside of you. And more so now, until you begin to ask questions, you'll never know how much you're addicted to your phone, right? So a person can be in the back of their room, at the back of their room, doors closed, and then they are still in the world, 100%. There's no shortcut to this success with God. You have to go through these lines. And that's why I started with the guy who predicted all the elections in America and always comes true. You know what? He then shared with us the indices, the things, the lines that he uses. Said, I've been using this for years. 1, 2, 3 was the only one that predicted that Donald Trump will win the last time. Not this current time, the last time. He said, because this. So then I started with the fact that the Bible, whatsoever is written before time, there are marks to let us know if this is done this way, this will be the result. So that, you know why? You know why he had to give us the Bible? And reading it with a non-Christian eye now, reading it with the eye of a world changer, he had to give us, otherwise people will come from the Spirit. They will say, according to the Spirit, this is what you should do. God says, all that is nice and good, but that can fail. The word will not fail. People can also come with the experience of life. You know, Mrs. So-so-so-and-so, she used to go to church a lot. She used to give a lot, and this happened. That can be our experience. But you see, like my uncle's situation, if I did not sit down and God did not say, look well, I would have said, they give, they pray, nothing happened. I would have based my life on that because I could see it. But God says, watch well. Then I found in the word. Then my system of giving came from the word, because this is the index. This is the lines. Line must be upon lines, so that we don't become spiritually spooky. Otherwise, we will live by everybody's idea or ideal of doing things. And growing up as a young pastor, I heard so many things. Do church this way, do this, do that, that. Everybody's got ideas. Then I have to go back to the one that lives on the inside of me. And that's why I don't preach dreams to you. I don't preach prophecy. We prophesy, we have dreams. I don't preach dreams or prophecy. It's the word. The only difference is you check it. You find that there was no place in the New Testament where Jesus said, give tithe. But you'll find Phoebe's and coin scriptures. You'll find when Paul says things like they gave their life, not only to, he said they gave themselves and their substance. You'll find it in Bible, so that we know the outcome already. We are not doubting. We are not thinking if the outcome will be this or that, because we're spiritual, Christian spiritual things. So I have a dream that I should walk around the building 7 times. I'm saying, okay, but what scripture for it? What scripture? Because after all those supernatural things are done, either they work or not, because sometimes they won't work. This is the one that works. But we must not read it with religious eyes. We must ask questions. If you ask me, if anyone asks me today, what is your final or important, most important discovery? Of course, prayer, the word, sowing, and all that. I realized that only the power of God can change lives. Only the power of God. And that's what I stand for. It may not be in the way the church does it, but it's the power of God. I believe in seed because I believe in the power of God. I believe in prosperity because I believe in the power of God. I believe in lives changing because I believe in the power of God. I have hope because I believe in the power of God. This, for me, is the summary of the things that I'll be sharing probably all through this weekend. For those who have been asking, what can I do for your birthday? What can we do? Look, I'm not a killjoy. Wait, let me finish. Go back. Don't distract me. Thank you. I'm not a killjoy. I'm not the guy who sits down and say, oh, even though you can send appreciation texts, I don't care. Oh, Pastor, I know you don't care about this. I care. You understand? I do. When I speak things like that, what I'm trying to say is that the totality of it is this, so that we don't miss the message. That's not the totality of it. Our lives, must be the message of it. And we must constantly try to let people understand that what is outstanding is the message, not the charisma of the message itself. Because sometimes we can embrace the charisma of it and miss the message. We can embrace the charisma of a PT and his resilience and miss the message. Most of the people I've met in my life, they miss the message. They miss it. They don't get the message. They like the person. But what they fail to know is that it is the message that actually blesses. That where the power of the person stops to bless you, the message takes over. So the person can keep calling you, oh, don't do this, oh, do that. But whilst I'm doing that and saying, be a good boy, be a good girl, don't do this, don't do that, the message is moving past. Because I cannot control that message. It's God's word. It's God's timing. So I've never really sat with the church, maybe one occasion or so. I've never sat with you and brought a book and started reading from the book, even my own book, and say, no, it's this book. It's the word. I believe that after this week, a new chapter is about to be opened for the nation family. That's what I believe. I believe some people's chapter will close. Because a church must experience that we must not stay with something for too long. Especially when we've called for it for change for so long and it's not. The blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrow. If a blessing continuously adds sorrow, God says, close that chapter, otherwise I won't open the next one. And so you must find people who are constantly opening the next chapter with you, otherwise they are in the old one. And you can die with Saul. Saul was the old one. And Jonathan sees the future. Jonathan knows that David is the future, but he still went back and forth. And fought sometimes Saul's battle, fought sometimes David's battle. I've discovered these things over the years, and I realized that walking with God, you will never have a better yesterday, ever. I discovered that it's not looking for the perfect. In fact, the reason why he leaves the imperfect in the world is so that the perfect can be tested. Because your perfection is in absorbing and taking in the imperfect. What completes you is you completing the incomplete. Did you hear that? Yeah. I said what completes you is you completing the incomplete. So when there are people with question marks in their life, with wrongs in their life, when you get in there, you complete them. And so God says, why would I raise that man? Why would I raise that woman? He's not going to go complete the incomplete. He's going to make them look more incomplete. So when you see videos like we're about to release tomorrow, or tonight, is it tonight, tomorrow? Tomorrow. I'm not showcasing perfect people. I'm just asking normal human beings questions. They're going to play the video in 1 minute, and then we're going to go into rejoicing. We're going to close this service now. I wanted to broadcast that video like you've never broadcasted a video before. You see how the word operates. If what they consider negative comes out, all of a sudden you discover they've been watching you all this while. They start passing it around, pass. You also send them good news. They will ignore it. They will pretend as if they didn't see it. But it will be too late. Or they would have clicked on it. So let's spend the whole week rejoicing, knowing that everything that has built this house may not look like the conventional church, I repeat, but it's the word. So I don't care if it's called church and this is called family. It's everything in this word. I've never stepped out of these ones in my life. Never. And I will never. There's no money. There's nobody that can buy me in this world. They don't have enough money. Truth is truth because it always wins. So I think the video was catchy, was powerful. I've asked for criticism of it. I want you to, every day we release one episode, it's going to be everywhere. We just want to tell a new class of people. And if you see the setting of the video, you will realize that what we're doing with this is saying that we leave that community. It's not just, we can't live and die in the hood. You understand? We're leaving that community to appeal in court or to keep spreading the message to another kind of people. Now, you can't attract those people until you become their leader. Your mindset, your demeanor, your faith, what you read, what you look at all the time is what you're constantly becoming. That's what the word says, looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When you're ready to play the video, let me know. It will come back to me, then I'll close the service. Wherever you're watching from all over the world, it's a blessed time. It's 11:11 is my birthday, so when you see 11:11, you know why, you're not confused. But I also believe that it's prophetic. If anyone ever asks you, what does PT stand for? I just stand for raising a new community, a new class of leaders. That's what I want to live and die for. Raising a new class of leaders. I also know when to not give up, but when to say enough with a person. I understand it. I also know when to have faith and put money and time and effort into a person. I want my life to be a statement of, it made those who are impossible, possible leaders. Like those who community will look at and say, they are not, come on, this one from this demographic. I want to make them possible leaders. That's what I'm raised for. And ultimately, I want the name of Jesus Christ. This is my most important passion. I want Jesus to rule on all the mountains of human endeavor. I want him to be influential everywhere. I want the church to be the decision maker. That's what I'm passionate for.